Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. In our last message, we were digging into page 53, if you have the book that I have, but it's chapter 11, Acting in a Certain Way. And this chapter goes on to explain why it's important, why it explains why writing down goals or having a vision board has power. Because it's hard to have faith and have gratitude for something that you actually can't see. You've heard the old phrase where people don't have a vision, they'll perish. This idea that whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you have to have a vision. I talked about previously this idea that hard work doesn't necessarily equate to money. Just grinding every day. Now, it's an ingredient. Building wealth is a soup. That's what the Science of Getting Rich is trying to say. This is a recipe. We're putting it together. If you don't work hard when it's time to work, and if you don't properly rest when it's time to rest, right? If you don't devote times to your study when it's time to study, and if you don't properly exercise when it's time to exercise, then none of these things are going to benefit you. And it's not a matter of balancing. We're not trying to balance things. That's never been my goal. I don't sit around to balance things. It's to add another thing to your day that you need to do. Now you got to figure out this thing called balancing. We're not doing that. I don't think you need to spend a lot of time worrying about balancing. Truth is, most people aren't doing enough. They even need to balance. You know, they're not doing enough already. But in this chapter, Wallace pushes the idea of acting in a certain way. And the acting in a certain way is really action. And I've had a lot of people ask me over the years, what does that mean? Because he says it almost cryptically throughout the book. And I think this is where we get to what that means, this idea of acting in a certain way. Let's see. Let me find where I lost my spot, of course. Let's see. Don't you hate that? It is not your part to guide or to supervise the creative process. All you have to do with that is to retain your vision, stick to your purpose, and maintain your faith and gratitude. But you must act in a certain way so that you can appropriate what is yours when it comes to you, so that you can meet the things you have in your picture and put them in their proper places as they arrive. You can really see the truth of this. When things reach you, they will be in the hands of other men who will ask an equivalent for them. So this reinforces the teachings in the earlier chapters where in order to become wealthy, in order to make money, you have to deal with other people. One of the 10 pillars, and I teach in my organization, the Downline Building Network, one of the pillars is learn how to effectively communicate and deal with other people. How to have a pleasant phone call. How to talk to prospects. How to talk to your children. These are things we need to constantly be working on. Our delivery, our pitch. How do we carry ourselves? If you sell in person, how do you look? Maybe you need to do some role playing. A lot of people are afraid to talk to people, but unfortunately, all of the money that you want and need is in the pockets, purses, wallets, credit cards of other people. And all good salesmen are people who just mastered the craft of explaining to people why they should buy their product. See, sometimes people don't know they need your product. Let's say you sell term life insurance. Do you understand that if you sold term life insurance, the product you're selling could save a family? And so then you might need to sell that heavily handed. You need to convince people the product you have, because sometimes people don't know what they should do. They don't know. They're ignorant. Doesn't mean they're dumb. They just don't know. And it's your job as the salesman, it's your job as their friend, the family member, it's your job as a parent to convince your child, hey, you need higher education, or hey, you need a skill, you need a way to make money. What we've done in this nation is we've created a debtor nation where we've pushed our children into higher education. We've allowed our children to take on debt for a job that didn't even pay them any money. Sickens me. A friend of mine's child just graduated with a degree in history. I love history. I like history as much as the next guy, probably more than the next guy. But you know what he's going to do with the degree in history? He's going to be a school teacher. You know what starting pay for a school teacher in my area is? $32,000. He spent $60,000. He went in debt $60,000 to get a job that's now paying him $32,000. I don't get it. He could have been a truck driver and made $70,000 to $100,000. I don't get it. I don't get it. Nothing against being a school teacher, of course. It's an honorable profession. But you don't indebt yourself. Why would you do that? At such an early age. And to compound it, kid's got a car payment. So coming out of school, he's got a car payment. He's got student loans. He's got, what, health insurance coming up. He's got to pay for his own cell phone. I mean, the kid needs $2,000 a month just to be even, and we haven't paid for rent, groceries, electric. How does this kid build wealth? I mean, is anyone thinking three moves ahead? Is anyone thinking, how does this play out? Nope. Would a better strategy have been, hey, son, we're going to do this over 6 years, or you're going to have to figure out a way to pay this, but you can't go in debt for this. You cannot go in debt for something that pays you so little. You don't follow passions to the tune of bankruptcy. Passions should pay you, not bankrupt you. Make sense? So that he had a vision to get a degree in history. But what they didn't have is, what are we going to do with this vision? Okay, it's just a vision to do that. But what do we do with it? How do we serve mankind with it, right? That's how you make money, through service. So make sure your vision makes sense. Or when it comes time to receive it, you're not going to be able to properly receive it. You're not going to know what to do with it. And you can only get what is yours by giving other men what is theirs. In other words, a fair monetary price for value. If you're a salesman, your goal isn't to rip people off. Your goal is to give them more in use value than they give you in monetary value. If you own a restaurant, you're producing, your goal is to make the food worth more than the money they gave you. How many of you gone into a restaurant and eaten and it's like, oh, it's absolute crap. You didn't feel good about that exchange. Could have had a 20-cent sandwich at home and came out better, right? Have you ever done that? Nothing makes me madder than spending $60, $80, $100. Not too long ago, we spent $180 on dinner, and it was no better than Denny's. And I thought to myself, why is the universe allowing this to happen? This is not a fair exchange. This is an inviolation of the book, The Science of Getting Rich. This should not be allowed to happen. And I think one day the universe will square up with them and they'll go out of business. They'll go out of business. Your pocketbook is not going to be transformed into Fonte's purse, which shall be always full of money without effort on your part. Back in the day, this was an old German comedy. I'm probably not saying it right, Fortuna's purse. And every time the guy opened it, there'd be a coin. In other words, the universe isn't your piggy bank. This is a crucial point in the science of getting rich, right here, where thought and action must be combined. There are very many people who consciously or unconsciously set the creative force in action by the strength and persistence of their desires, but who remain poor because they do not provide the reception of the thing they want when it comes. By thought, the thing they want is brought to you, by action you receive it. By thought, the thing you want is brought to you, by action you receive it. This is why hard work alone doesn't make you work, doesn't make you rich, because just having a vision of hard work is, that's what you get. If you work hard and long in a day, then you get an honest day's wages, but that doesn't make you rich. What makes you rich is a thought out plan where you cut off a percentage of it, where you take 30 to 40% of the money you made working hard and put it to work hard for you. Now, the process is hard. This is why so few do it. But the process of building wealth in 7 to 10 years is simple. You save 40% of your income every month and every year for 7 to 10 years. And you will create wealth that has momentum. Money that begins to make money. Money that makes more money than you make working. That's it. That's the plan. That's the secret. Now, how do you do this? Well, you could only accomplish this if you had an absolute strategy to accomplish this. The problem is, a lot of people, when they come into this idea that, hey, I want to build massive wealth, they're dead broke. They're in debt. They have obligations. They have children. They have wives. They can barely make it through the month. And they can't receive a message like this. How is a guy who's barely getting through the month going to live on 60% of his income? How do you do that? You know, this is the message. Unless you make a lot of money, it's your only option. See, my message is to working class people. You know, if you're a doctor and you make $500,000-$600,000 a year, the same message applies to you. But this guy can fumble through the process. See, a guy making $200,000-$400,000 a year, he could save 10% of his income, and if he does that over his lifetime, he'll be fine. He'll have millions of dollars. But if a guy making $200,000-$400,000 did what I said, followed the principles and the science of getting rich, saved and invested 40% of his income for 10 years, can you imagine how much money you have when you're making $200,000-$250,000 a year and you save and invest, not just save, but invest $100,000 a year? You could have tens of millions. You could have generational wealth. But that's not what most people do. This message isn't for most people. See, but the message can be implemented on any skill level. It's not even a skill level, at any age, of any income. Whether you're white, black, Hispanic, Latino, making any amount of money. You have to set aside some of your money in investments. You have to educate yourself on what those investments are, the proper ones for you. You have to find a way to increase your income. And the only way to increase your income is to have a bigger vision of providing value to more people. To produce in a product that's either more valuable, thereby you can charge more money, or to provide value to more people, as in selling to more, providing to more. Or if you have a job, a typical W-2 type job, you need to find a way to provide more value for your company so that they give you a raise. That's what the earlier chapters of The Science of Getting Rich are talking about. This is why you have to do more than you're paid for. Any fool can do what he's paid to do. The Science of Getting Rich is about doing more than you're paid for. It's about selling more than people pay for. It's about giving more in value than you ask for in monetary value. That is the only way that you grow. More. Do more. Give more. Get up earlier. Go longer. It's just more. You can only do that with will. We talked about the chapter on your will. Everything you need is contained in this book. The chapters can be read in like 5 minutes. There's 17 of them. In other words, you could basically walk through this book twice a month, and it will transform your life. I've done it multiple times. It's a book that you can just grab and just open on any page and just read it. Just randomly, here, I just randomly opened a page. Many people who order their lives rightly in all other ways are kept in poverty by their lack of gratitude. Having received one gift from God, they cut the wires which connect them with Him by failing to make acknowledgement. I mean, I just randomly read a section. And that's actually pretty damn good advice, right? In other words, find your source of power. As I've mentioned, you don't have to be a Christian. See, Wallace was a Christian. He wrote this from a Christian perspective. But the principles are universal. The basic foundations of all religions, have the basic two or three, four principles. Whether it be Buddhism, which predates Christianity by 500 years. Why would principles in Buddhism be also in Christianity? Because they're just basic laws. The ideas of do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, that's just a basic principle. To have a harmonious life. And in order to build wealth, you need harmony. You need law and order. You can't have bandits and rebels and people stealing and attacking all the time. We have to bring social order to things so that we can build wealth. And so we have to believe in law and order. You can't believe in F the police and want to tear down the police and at the same time over here expect you're going to build wealth because there's no fabric to hold it together. No matter how frustrated we may be at the legal system, it's the one we have and it's what holds everything together. And you may be like, well, I don't like President Trump. He's not my kind of guy. He's rude. He talks like he's on a football team. And I get it. But he's the one who's been ordained by the universe. And through his power, all things will be held together. And you can still acquire your wealth, irregardless of who's president. Get it? Tony Robbins coined the phrase personal power, but it really is a great phrase because the power is within you. It is personal. There are no outside forces that keep you from building wealth because building wealth could be as simple as a dollar. It's a muscle. It's a muscle that you have to lift. If you stop lifting, your muscles get weak. And so if you find yourself in a point, you're saying, well, Gerald, I was doing so well and I was saving all this money and things were going good and now I can't. I have all these problems. Then save a dollar. Go on the street and beg for a dollar if you have to, but take that damn dollar and put it in that account. Or take that dollar and put it into your business, whatever it is you invest in. Don't get caught up on in what should I invest in or how should I invest. It's different depending on where you're at in life. You may own a farm or own a restaurant or own a delivery service or drive for Uber. And so where everyone is at will dictate what you should be doing and what age and where you're at and your cognitive abilities and your ability. You know, what is it you have at your disposal? The best thing for you right now may be investing in your restaurant. The best thing for you right now, if you're 18 years old and you want to be an investor and you're not sure, maybe you don't need to invest at all. You need to practice on how to stack cash. Because something that your peers, your mom, your dad, your uncle, and the people around you have never, ever mastered is the ability to just stack cash and let it sit there. Because most people can't let it sit there. They must give it to other people. Most people have a psychological problem just holding money. Just having money. They got to smoke it, drink it, have sex with it, and buy something with it. They can't just have it. They can't just sit on it. It requires great, great strength. Personal power. There was recently an article I was reading in Barron's that said the millennials are tapping their retirement account higher than any other generation. They're using their retirement accounts like a piggy bank. And they're going to be the ones that are 50 and 60 years old who have no money and are broke because they borrowed on their ever-rising retirement account. It's stupid on steroids. I'm no fan of the 401k. But the reason the 401k works is a lot of people don't have personal power, and so they don't have the personal ability to put money into an account, a sacred account, and never touch it. And if you say, well, that's me, then you need to fix that. You cannot build wealth if you're so weak. There has to be principles. You have to create principles. You have to have values. You have to have things that you just don't do, lines you don't cross. Speaking with a client yesterday, and he said, well, part of the reason that I'm in my financial situation is I've been helping family, and I helped them on a credit card, and then they didn't pay me back, and then I couldn't pay the credit card. Yeah, because you're stupid. And people say, well, you shouldn't talk like that. No, other people need to hear that. That is dumb. You should not be doing that. You don't do anything for family. That's ridiculous. You don't do that because you don't have it to do it. When you tap into credit, you're giving someone something that you don't even have. And so they're asking something of you that you actually don't have. So you would never go on credit for someone. It's not a reasonable request. It's not a request that God would ask. It's not a request that Buddha would ask. It's not a request that Muhammad would ask. No religion in the world would tell you to borrow something to give to someone else. No one would tell you, go to a bank and borrow this, or go to a credit card company and borrow this to give to your mother. Never. It's decisions like that that keep family in perpetuity in debt, in living in ghettos. Because it's one bad decision after another, and at some point, you have to draw a line. At some point, you have to say, no more, not for me and my family. We're not making dumbass decisions. We're going to do it the right way, and if it's only a dollar, we're going to build wealth every month. And until you make that decision, until you draw that line in the sand, and our presidents may draw lines and walk over them, but you can't. Building wealth is a battle, man. In my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, I talk about this. It's a war every day. My goal every day was to become richer every day. And I started with a $10 bill. That's $300 a month, ain't no big deal. But my ultimate goal when I'm an old man is $1,000 a day. The day I die, I want my wealth multiplying by $1,000 a day. On top of what I spend every day, I'm $1,000 richer being compounded. That's my goal. Why? So I can leave a legacy. I could change my family tree for the next 5 to 10 years. People would celebrate me. People would read my books and say, hey, here's what our great grandfather did. This is why you're going to college and you're not having to pay it, take out a loan like everybody else. It may not interest you, but it's part of my why. It's part of my why. Part of my why. And you have to decide what is your why. And you have to decide what are your values. What are your values? Thought is a creative power, an impelling force which causes the creative power to act. Thinking in a certain way will bring riches to you. But you must not rely upon thought alone, paying no attention to personal action. This is the rock upon which otherwise scientific, metaphysical thinkers meet shipwreck, the failure to connect thought with personal action. And that knife cuts both ways. If you make dumb decisions, it compounds against you. One dumb decision can tear down 3 good ones. One bad thought can tear down 100 good thoughts that you said to yourself. You have to gain control of that. One negative thought can tear down an entire day of positive thinking. This is why you have to fill your mind with things like The Science of Getting Rich, this beautiful book that has 17 chapters that cover every aspect of life, business, and wealth. Speak these things into your mind. Cram them in there. Because no one else is going to do it for you. No one can motivate you. But if you're motivated, they can inspire you. No one can motivate you. But if you're motivated, people, places, and things can inspire you. You may be inspired from a dinner. Why are you inspired from a dinner? Because of something you read yesterday or a video that you watched that fired you up. See, motivated people become inspired. I can't motivate you. That's called personal power. That's the will. The will. You hear people talking about the will to live, but there's also a will to build wealth. And the reason for the will to build wealth is to live. To really live. To enjoy nice paintings. It's not about all sacrifice. It's about owning what you have. Owning that car, owning that house, owning multiple houses, the beach house, the lake house, all that stuff.